on 1.9 FM.
By the way, this is somebody's favorite show! Hi, Dan Shakespeare here. You know, for most of the stuff that I play, you probably think that I'm much older, but you know what? Most of you are probably way off, because I'm only 23 years old. Tune in to The Shakespeare Show between noon and 1 p.m. on Wednesdays. It's songs from before the 1920s to alternative stuff today, plus jokes and riddles, all sorts of fun stuff. Just put any of it on your iTunes if you need to. Pretty soon it'll be coming out on albums.
Congratulations, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, as today marks the first day of the rest of your life. Parents, I understand the extreme pride you must feel in your hearts, seeing your creation take his or her steps across the stage, but we do ask that you save the applause until the very end. Students, please come to the stage as your name is called, and I will provide you with a document that essentially makes it so that we never have to see each other's face again. Miles Jefferson.
Let me see that, boss.
Hey!
Yes, Spring Break! Hail Trump!
All right, that's enough. Caitlyn Jenner.
I've always loved you. Hey, I'm 18 now. Call me.
No, thank you. Moving on, Darren Campbell. Darren Campbell? Darren, you out there? Well, he still isn't getting a refund on his cap and gown, so we don't really care.
Same as usual, I guess.
You want to tell me why you didn't show up to graduation?
No, not really.
You really should get out more.
Says the one who's always at work.
What time is it anyway?
It's about 20 to 11. How did you know I was at work?
Because you only call me when you're on your break.
That's not true.
That is true. How come you never call me when you have free time?
I don't have much free time.
Well, that's the problem with giving everyone your all. There's nothing left for you.
I appreciate it, but I really didn't call for a lecture.
I didn't really answer for one.
Darren, when are you going to stop?
Stop what?
If you're upset about something, just tell me. I'm here.
I'm not upset.
Good. Then what are you? Happy? I don't hear a smile in your voice. I want to see you. Are you doing anything later today?
I have work at... Damn. Where did the time go?
What time is it now?
2:30. I gotta go. We'll figure it out later.
Okay. Have a good day at work.
You too. Bye.
Congratulations, Darren. It's your 40th day late. Should we make him a cake? I think we should make him a cake.
You know, Jessica, I actually believe you were counting. You don't put much energy into doing anything else around here.
All right, Jess, go to the back. I got this.
You're gonna fire him?
Yes.
Please fire him. He's so rude. Everything that comes out of his mouth is a mean comment.
Then stop making me say shit.
To the back, Jess.
Fine.
That little girl still thinks she's my boss, huh?
I know 8 minutes doesn't seem like a lot to you, but it affects all of us when you're not here on time.
Oh, I'm sure you were lost without me.
I know we're not busy right now, but we could have been. What's wrong, Darren? You seem very castrated today.
Castrated?
It's all right if you don't know what it means. Don't look it up.
What is it?
Trust me, Google will show you pictures immediately with no forewarning, but listen, man, why were you late? We needed you.
There's literally no one here.
He's here.
I didn't see him when I came in.
Yeah, he's been here all day, actually. It's a little creepy, but what if he started choking and you need the Heimlich?
Then you'd give it to him? You're the manager.
They don't teach us that in manager school.
Do they teach you anything? Where do you want me? Oh, same as always? Okay.
Hey, Miranda has really started to ride my ass about you being late every day.
Matt, we've known each other for about a year now.
That's right.
So you know the real me would like to tell you, if Miranda has a problem with me, then she can come deal with me herself. But alternatively, I'd like to sincerely apologize for being late and assure you that I'll do my best to be on time from now on.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way, Darren, because she told me next time you're late, you're fired.
Understood.
Great. Now,
wash the dishes, grease the pans.
You got it.
I know.
Trust me, you don't want to go in there. Well, not now.
Thanks for the heads up.
You gotta take a shit too?
No, actually, I was...
I knew you didn't. You don't seem like the kind of guy who'd poop in a public place. But why pee in a stall?
SBS.
BS?
Shy bladder syndrome.
Yeah, BS. I heard you the first time. Look, I've been watching you. You're a very good worker.
Thanks. Some people don't realize how much talent and concentration goes into washing dishes.
Sarcasm. Don't worry, we have that in common. Listen, I want to offer you a job.
What kind of job?
Delivery.
I'd love to, but I don't have a car.
I have a car you can use if you don't like driving that SUV.
Wait, what?
Also, these people have plenty of time, so you don't have to worry about being late. I didn't introduce myself. My name is Thomas Keeble. Here's my card. Just call the number sometime tonight and we'll get things started, okay? I don't want to say too much, but I want to help you out. I know you're not satisfied. You can't be in a place like this. Actually, I prefer the greenhouse.
That place is expensive.
Yeah, but the wife... She has very high standards.
Well, thanks, man. I'll definitely give you a call.
Nice meeting you, Darren. Come alone. I'm just teasing you, kid. Now wash your hands, you filthy teenager.
glad you called. I'm free tomorrow.
Sweet. I work till 3.
I'll pick you up after. Cool?
Cool.
So, what's up?
I got a job offer.
Really? Where?
I don't know. The guy wants me to call him tonight.
Then what are you calling me for?
Well, it's kind of strange. He knew my name without me telling him.
So? He probably just heard your coworker saying it a few times. Just call him. It could change your life.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
Hey, I gotta go. See you tomorrow.
Yeah. See ya.
Bye.
Hey, Darren, what took you so long?
Sorry, I didn't know you'd be waiting by the phone.
222 Treble Avenue. I have some paperwork for you to sign.
All right. When?
Right now. See you soon.
Look at you. You're not late for a change.
What is this place?
This is headquarters. But don't get too comfortable. You'll only be here a few minutes a day.
What kind of work is this again?
Good work. Delivery.
All these boxes?
What? No. These are my problem.
What about this huge gaping hole in the middle of the room?
Also my problem. I'm working on getting it fixed.
I see. What's the pay for this delivery job?
Good pay. You can get started right now. I just need you to sign right here.
Now? It's late. I have work in the morning.
Darren, you will never have to worry about time when you're with me. And I thought you were done with that place.
What is this, Greek?
Impressive.
I'm not signing this. I can't even read it.
It's legit. Trust me.
I'm out of here.
Wait, you're seriously not going to sign it?
No.
That's fine.
I know it's fine.
So what are you going to do? Go back to the Pizza Haven and make $8.10 an hour?
That's exactly what I'm going to do.
Tomorrow, you'll be there from 9 to 3. That's 7 hours. And in that 7 hours, you'll make $56.70 before taxes. Does that really sound like it's worth your time and effort? The waking up, the 15-minute walk there, and the annoying voice of Jessica. I don't think it is. I don't think you think it is. And that is why you're late every day. So the next time Matt asks you for an excuse, give him that.
Are you done? My eyes are getting heavy.
You're seriously planning on going to a place where you spend 7 hours a day looking at a clock, waiting to leave? I didn't think so. Adjust to the dark yet?
Where the hell am I?
Wow, you catch on fast. Here, take this. This too. You'll need it. Your mom used to have you take fencing classes, right?
Wait, why am I here? Why are you doing this?
What do you mean? This is your new job. Well, just take my car, deliver these letters, and I'll come get you in a couple hours.
No. Take me back.
We already went through this. You're wasting your life there, okay? I wouldn't let you do that to yourself.
Who are you?
Check the card. Listen, if you want to survive here, you better do what I say.
timekeeper? Wait! Wait!
Youngsters like you down here very often. How'd you get here?
Here's your mail.
Mail? For me? Oh, it's from my wife. Come in so we can read it.
Actually, I'm just supposed to deliver and...
No. Come in. I could use some company. Dear Arnold, my love. Yeah. Your love that you cheated on 3 times with 3 different men. Even with your departure, I still only have eyes for you. I miss our Sunday morning walks to church. Our Sunday morning walks. That woman hasn't been in a church in over 40 years, let alone got up the walk anywhere.
Sounds like you guys had a pretty healthy marriage.
She's a nasty, annoying, fat glass of hot garbage, and that's putting it lightly. Not quite as bad as my son-in-law, though.
Mm-hmm.
He betrayed your mother time and time again, but she just kept putting up with his crap. I don't know. Anyway, let's read on.
Wait, who?
Though I used to always complain about your atrocious laundry, I still keep a tainted pair of your under...
Arnold.
Yes, son?
You knew my father?
Yes, and you look just like him. I was hoping you would get your looks from us, but I guess we can't all be that lucky. I'm sorry, son. How does it feel? Knowing you look like a piece of garbage.
Whoa! What the hell is that?
Oh, that's just a flying demon thing. They're pretty common around here. See ya, kid. We should do this again sometime.
Is Darren here?
Oh, hey, Taylor. I haven't seen you in a long time. Hope you're not looking for your boyfriend because I assumed he was with you.
Just friends, actually. Strange. He said he'd get off work at 3.
That's right. It's funny. Yesterday I told him if he shows up late again, I'd have to fire him, and today he didn't show up at all.
That does not sound like him. I'll give him a call.
Oh, yeah. Probably the one person whose calls he actually answers. Definitely hasn't answered mine.
No answer.
Oh, that sucks. Well, hope he's okay.
Me too. Well, while I'm here, I might as well get something to eat.
God. Should have brought that sword with me. I need to distract them. Maybe if I... Well, that didn't work. Wait, where are the keys? Damn it. I'm too far to trigger the alarm. Gotta get closer.
Thank you.
That was close.
Hello?
Hey, kid. What's the progress?
Tom, this is crazy. Arnold's dead.
No big deal.
What do you mean, no big deal?
Tom, could you please tell the nice waitress what you'd like to drink so we can order?
Oh, sorry, miss. Just a water, please. Relax, Darren. This is hell. Everyone dies. He'll be back home tomorrow.
What? Really?
Of course. It's not the same with you, though. If you die, it's permanent.
Tom.
Yes, son.
Take me home.
Now? You've only made one delivery.
Please, I can't do this.
Look, kid, I gotta go. It's date night. I gotta keep the wife happy, you know?
Tom, you gotta be kidding me.
Tom, I want to kill him. Wait, that restaurant kind of looks like...
So are you just going to be on that tablet all night?
Oh, I'm sorry, what, honey?
This does not feel like a date.
Why? What's wrong?
Are you serious? You know, you can be so boring at times. All you do is work. I honestly don't know why I even married you.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll figure it out, though. You're pretty smart. Where are you going?
I'm leaving. I can be this bored at home.
Wait, Felicity?
What?
Hey, I'm done.
You're done?
Yeah, sit down, okay? We haven't even gotten our food yet.
Well, maybe you should leave, too, before they charge you. I honestly don't even know why I even... Wait.
Well, I know why I married you, Felicity. You're beautiful, you're loving, you're a great mother, and you understand that I have a very important duty to the universe that will have me distracted at times.
Did you just revert time on me? I told you never to do that again.
Here. I know what'll make you feel better. Dig in.
I must admit, being married to Father Time does have its perks.
I'm sorry, who?
I don't know why you don't like that name.
Well, before Aria, I used to say I'm not anyone's father. I guess that's not entirely true. Wow. He actually found me.
Who? Oh, is that Darren? You didn't tell me he was so handsome.
He's not that handsome.
Tom, you're taking me home.
Oh, Thomas. You didn't tell me you hired him against his will.
Hey, kid. This is my wife, Felicity.
I don't care.
Hey, come on, Darren. Don't be like that. She's not in on this.
Hi. How you doing?
Much better now.
Now, Tom.
Come on, Darren. You're seriously challenging an immortal deity.
He's bluffing. He can't fight. All he can do is make your watch read the wrong time.
Babe?
What? You got yourself into this.
How about this, Darren? One more delivery, and I'll take you home. Yeah. Rachel Davis.
Why is she here?
I don't know. But don't you want to stop fighting me so I can help you find out?
What is this?
That's present time. And that's your girlfriend. Oh, yeah. Didn't you two have a date? Oh, shit.
Take me back, Tom. Take me back now. Please.
I can't. I could, but you broke everything.
Ah, that's gross. You're just gonna let her kiss you like that after she was just choking on an onion? What are you smiling for?
That was Miranda. Darren just got fired.
Oh, Darren. I'm so sorry. Good thing you found another job.
Conservation is the first and best resource option for BC. Do your part. Turn off the lights when you leave a room and unplug your cell phone charger when charging is complete. Visit bchydro.com to find out more ways you can make a difference. This message brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Am I wrong?
Man, they were nihilists, man.
Huh?
They kept saying they believed in nothing.
Niles. Me.
The Great Escape from Nihilism, Rediscovering Our Passion in Late Modernity by Dr. Gordon E. Karkner involves a journey out of the prison of contemporary nihilism and into a meaningful life trajectory. Rooted in the work of Canadian premier philosopher Charles Taylor, this book is a relevant read for students and faculty. You can find it at the UBC or Regent bookstores.
Who's the f***ing nihilist around here, you bunch of crybaby.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Your favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder Magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
This episode from the life of Sherlock Holmes will be transmitted to our men and women overseas by shortwave through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Petri Wine brings you Basil Rathbone and Nigel Bruce in the new adventures of Sherlock Holmes. The Petri family, the family that took time to bring you good wine, invite you to listen to Dr. Watson tell us another exciting adventure he shared with his good friend, that master detective, Sherlock Holmes. And if you ask me, the best way to listen to that story is to do it with a glass of port wine right handy. Petri California Port. No kidding, that Petri Port is just swell for any time good friends get together to talk things over. You couldn't ask for a more delicious wine. Why, just looking at the deep, rich red color of that Petri port tells you that here's a wine with a flavor that comes right from the heart of sun-ripened grapes. If you haven't ever tried Petri port, why not get a bottle and have a glass after dinner tomorrow night? It's a perfect after-dinner wine, you know. And share that port with your family and your friends. And don't forget, when you serve Petri port, you can serve it proudly. Because after all, the name Petri is the proudest name in the history of American wines. And now let's keep our weekly appointment. Good evening, Dr. Watson.
Good evening, Mr. Bartell. Drop a chair.
Thank you.
That's it. By the way, do you know what date it is?
November 5th, isn't it?
That's right. In England, it's known as Guy Fawkes Day. Have you ever heard of it?
It's something to do with a gunpowder plot, isn't it?
Yes, Mr. Bartell, it is. And as Sherlock Holmes and I had a very unusual adventure on the 5th of November many years ago, it seems appropriate that I should tell you about it tonight. Before I begin, I think it might help you to appreciate the true flavor of the story if I tell you a little about the origin and the customs of Guy Fawkes Day.
It's a swell idea, Dr. Watson.
Well, my boy, on November the 5th, 1605, exactly 340 years ago today, King James I was about to attend the opening of Parliament when a plot was discovered to blow up the House of Lords during the ceremony.
And the chief conspirator was Guy Fawkes, I suppose?
Yes, he was. He was captured in a vault immediately below the House of Lords. A vault full of barrels of gunpowder. Of course, he and his fellow conspirators were executed. And ever since then, November the 5th has been known as Guy Fawkes Day.
Well, how's it celebrated, Doctor?
Well, it's a great time for the youngsters, Mr. Bartell. They black their faces, throng the streets, begging for pennies, and build bonfires in which to burn effigies of Guy Fawkes. These effigies are life-size dummies, stuffed with straw and dressed in old clothes. The children parade them in the streets chanting rhymes. Well, now, let me see. Please to remember the 5th of November. Guy Fawkes Guy, hit him in the eye.
The kids must have quite a time. Sort of like Halloween, huh, Doctor?
Yes, not unlike it, my boy. Well, now that I've told you something about the customs of Guy Fawkes Day, I'll get on with my story. It began just before lunch, I remember, on November the 5th, 1899. The day was foggy and cold, and Holmes and I seated each side of a blazing fire in our Baker Street rooms. From outside, we could hear the sound of voices laughing and singing. Suddenly, Holmes rose and crossed to the window, opened it, and looked out. Then he turned to me and spoke.
Children having a great time, Watson, aren't they?
Yes, it cost me a shilling worth of pennies to walk here this morning.
Has it occurred to you, Watson, that the gunpowder plot offers very promising material to the speculative mind?
In what way, Holmes? I say it's confoundedly chilly in here. Don't you think you might shut that window?
Sorry, old chap. As I was saying, the gunpowder plot offers very promising material to the speculative mind. I've made something of a study of the historical records of the case. There's more than a little evidence to suggest that King James was never in any real danger.
Never in any danger? Well, what makes you say that?
Knowledge of the proposed dastardly scheme came to light early. The James Stuart, King of England, the possessor of a shrewd and diabolical mind, used the spectacular discovery of the plot to try and bolster his waning popularity, as well as to justify increased religious persecutions.
Well, that's the first I've heard of it, Holmes.
I dare say, old fellow, but it's true just the same. I'm afraid James Stuart, King of England, was an unscrupulous tyrant. Come in. Oh, yes, Mrs. Hudson?
There is a gentleman to see you, Mr. Holmes. He said it was very important, and he asked me to give you his card.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Hudson. Oh, ask him to come up, please, will you?
Aye, sir.
Well, who is it, Holmes?
A gentleman with a remarkably fine sense of timing. Read his card for yourself.
Let's have a look. Mr. James Stuart. Great Scott, that's an extraordinary coincidence that he should arrive just as we're talking about James Stuart, King of England.
Come in.
Mr. James Stuart.
How do you do, Mr. Stuart? My name is Sherlock Holmes, and this is my colleague, Dr. Watson.
How do you do, sir? How do you do?
Mr. Holmes, you've got to help me. I'm walking about in mortal fear of my life. You've got to help me.
Mr. Stuart, I suggest that you sit down. I'll do anything in my power to help you, but you must compose yourself first and tell me quietly what it is that's frightening you.
How can I compose myself when I may be dead within a few hours?
No, Mr. Stuart, I'm a doctor. I really think if I were to give you a sedative that you'd find...
How can you talk of sedatives when I... My heart. Doctor. My heart.
All right. Now, here, let me help you into this sofa. There you are now.
Imagine that Bradley would have known all of
us. Yes, Holmes, and I'll give him some digitalis. A fellow with a bad heart like this shouldn't allow himself to get so excited.
Here you are, Mr. Stewart, drink this.
No. That's it, that's it. And now this, Mr. Stewart.
What is it?
It's digitalis.
Very well.
Yeah, now. Feel better, sir?
Yes, Mr. Holmes. Yes, I do. You're right. I shouldn't get so excited. My heart can't stand it, you know.
Watson, is he well enough to talk, do you think?
Yes, if he doesn't excite himself again.
I'll be careful, Doctor. I'll take it quietly. Mr. Holmes, when you saw my card just now, did it strike any responsive chord?
Naturally, sir. Who could fail to be intrigued when a James Stewart calls to see one on Guy Fawkes Day?
It isn't just coincidence that my name is James Stewart. I've got royal blood in my veins. People know of it. And that's another reason they're out to kill me. They're jealous of my heritage. Every instinct I have is a royal one. No, you gentlemen know that falconry is a king's sport. And my greatest hobby is the breeding and the training of falcons.
Mr. Stewart, please. Mr. Stewart, owing to the state of your health, I suggest that you be as economical as possible in your explanation. In fact, I think it might be better if I were to question you.
Very well, Mr. Holmes.
Now, you say that your life is in danger. What evidence do you have to substantiate that claim?
My cousin, Guy Falconry, has threatened it. You see, Mr. Holmes, he and I are the only heirs to a wealthy uncle. His fortune will go to the surviving heir. If I were dead, Guy would inherit everything.
Seems to me, Mr. Stewart, that you should have applied to Scotland Yard for protection.
I did, Dr. Watson. Only a few days ago, I saw a certain inspector, Lestrade, I think his name was, and he laughed at my fears.
Oh, Lestrade. And he laughed, did he? Well, then in that case, there may be something in your story, sir. You say that your cousin has threatened to kill you. Has he indicated the method he intends to employ?
He has. And it's a devilish plot. Guy has a bitter, twisted sense of humor, gentlemen, even when he's planning as dastardly a thing as a murder. I am James Stewart. He is Guy Falconby, which is near enough to Guy Fawkes. Today is the 5th of November, and he's planning to blow me up.
Oh, come, sir. You can't expect us to believe that.
But it's true. He warned me. And the celebrations that are going on in the streets of London today would make a rare cloak for his activities.
I must confess, Mr. Stewart, that I find your story most unconvincing. All your evidence appears to depend on conversations held between you and this cousin of yours. You have no facts, sir, to substantiate your claims.
But I have.
Then please let us hear them.
I live at 23 Cavendish Square. A week ago, the house next door to me was let to a new tenant. Almost immediately, workmen became very active there. They were digging in the cellars, Mr. Holmes. I could hear the sounds of picks and shovels through the walls.
Digging in the cellars? That does sound significant, doesn't it, Holmes?
Extremely. Did you observe any other activities of the workmen, Mr. Stewart?
Aye, Mr. Holmes. Vans have been delivering large packing cases to the basement during the last 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
I know what's in them, too. It's gunpowder. I tell you, they're planning to blow me up today.
No. Steady. You mustn't excite yourself again.
What shall I do, Mr. Holmes?
I think, sir, it would be better for you to rest here for a while and then go to a nearby hotel. I would suggest the Shaftesbury. And wait there until you hear from us.
And where are you gentlemen going?
Watson and I, after donning suitable disguises, will visit the house adjoining yours in Cavendish Square. I think an examination of the cellar there might prove most illuminating.
This must be the house, all right, Holmes. The empty packing cases are still by the foot of the basement steps.
Come on, Watson. Let's go down and explore.
Upon my soul, I feel a little self-conscious in these clothes.
No need to, my dear chap. You look a most authentic inspector of plumbing. If anyone challenges us, you'd better let me do the talking, though. I think my accent might be a little more convincing. Shh. Listen.
I can't hear anything.
Exactly. Then we may reasonably assume that either the workmen are observing the Guy Fawkes holiday or that their work is done. Come on, let's try this door.
It's unlocked.
Yes. This is too easy, Watson. We must be prepared for a trap. Come on.
I've got my revolver handy if there's any trouble.
I don't use it until I tell you to. Remember, we're supposed to be plumbing inspectors.
It's pitch black in here. I can't see a thing. Strike a match.
See if you can find a gas jet.
Strike a match and the cellar may be full of gunpowder.
Don't take the risk, old chap.
Here's a gas jet. I light it. That's better. Now we can see a little.
I think the workmen have completed their job. See that new wood forming a crude door in the corner over there?
Where does it lead to, do you suppose?
Let's find out. Also unlocked. And here's a miner's lantern, waiting conveniently for us on this ledge. Oh, this is ridiculous easy. Now I'm sure it's a trap.
I like the lantern. It's a tunnel.
Yes, it's a tunnel leading into Mr. Stewart's house next door. Let's explore it.
Look, Holmes. Look at the barrels. I bet they're full of gunpowder.
Undoubtedly. We'll observe the fuses as well. Yes, the complete equipment for another gunpowder plot.
I can't believe my eyes. What a fantastic plan, but how could the murderer be certain that Stewart would be killed in the explosion?
I think that's easily answered, Watson. Remember Mr. Stewart's bad heart? In his present state of apprehension, an exploding firecracker would be enough to kill him.
Oh, I suppose so. Hello? What's this lying on the floor? Curious? It's a funny strip of silk with a little ring on the end.
Let me see it, Watson. This seems to be familiar. By Jove! I believe it's a Jess.
A Jess? What on earth, sir?
The last piece of evidence necessary to confirm the conclusion...
Come out of there! And keep your hands above your heads! I've got a revolver!
Right, you are, Governor. We ain't done no harm.
Now, remember, Watson. I'll do the talking.
Come on! Archer, come! Well, well. You're a comical-looking pair. What are you doing in there?
Me and my mate got a message to come over here and see to the plumbing, mister.
Plumbers, eh? Do you have any identification?
Yes, sir. Here's my badge. We're inspectors for the London County Council.
Oh, that's all right, my man. I saw the basement door open and I thought burglars might be here.
You're the owner of this house, sir?
Yes, but my agent let it recently to some tenants who've been behaving rather queerly, I'm told. So I came round here to see what was happening.
If you're the owner, sir, perhaps you can give me some facts for me records. I'm not filming records, you know.
What do you want to know?
Well, your name, please, sir.
Falconby. Guy Falconby.
Look here!
Alfie, hold your nose.
What did he say?
Nothing, sir, nothing. He's got bad hiccups. That for, well, I've had him for months now. Can't stop him. Alfie, here, give me a pencil, will you? Thank you, Al. Now, sir, your name is Guy Falconby. What's the name of the tenant this house is let to?
There are three of them.
Oh, you know the name, sir? Got to have them for me records, you see.
Yes, the names are Winter, Rokewood, and Keynes.
Winter, Rokewood, and Keynes. That's right, sir. Sounds as if they might be a firm of solicitors, don't they, sir?
Well, perhaps they are. I haven't met them.
Just one more question, sir, and then I needn't bother you no more.
Well, what is it? My religion or my grandmother's maiden name?
No, sir, no, nothing like that. I just wondered who lived in the house next door on that side. We've had a complaint from there, too. Their pipes is bunged up.
My cousin lives there. His name's James Stewart.
Mr. James Stewart, eh? I'm much obliged, sir. Me and my mate will be going next door. Come on, Alfie.
I'm not surprised his pipes are bunged up, as you so graphically put it. He's a great one for practical jokes about the house. As a matter of fact, he's planning one of them tonight. That's no concern of yours. By the way, my man, what's your name?
Nivett, sir. Tom Nivett. Come on, Alfie. We've got work to do.
I wish you'd tell me what's going on. Why have we taken this cab back to Baker Street?
Get out of these clothes. They've served their purpose. Now there's more serious work afoot.
Well, I'm still confused about our interview with Guy Falconby. Why did you say your name was Tom Nivett?
What touch of vanity, old fellow?
Vanity? How do you mean?
Well, consider the names in this case so far, Watson. James Stewart says that he's been threatened by Guy Falconby. A name, as Mr. Stewart points out, not unlike Guy Fawkes. You recall the names of the three tenants that Mr. Falconby gave us a few minutes ago?
Yes, Winter, Rokewood, and Keynes. But what's that got to do with it?
A great deal, my dear fellow. Thomas Winter, Ambrose Rokewood, and Robert Keynes were the three men executed with Guy Fawkes in the original gunpowder plot in 1605.
Good Lord, where does Tom Nivett, the name you gave yourself, fit into the fixture?
Thomas Nivett,
was the Westminster magistrate who arrested the conspirators. Since the would-be murderer has such an academic knowledge of the original plot, I thought I'd let him know that he was up against an opponent worthy of his skill.
We'll hear the rest of Dr. Watson's story in just a few seconds. Just about time for me to remind you that if you want a wine that's sure to please the ladies, you can't mix with Petri California Muscatel. That's because Petri Muscatel is a golden wine with one of the most luscious flavors you ever tasted. Did you ever taste a big, plump muscat grape that's ripened in the sun? If you have, then you know what to expect when you taste Petri Muscatel. It's a wonderful wine. Perfect after dinner and swell when company comes. Just remember that, won't you? Petri Muscatel. Well, Doctor, you and Mr. Holmes were certainly having yourselves quite a Guy Fawkes day. What happened when you got back to Baker Street?
We quickly changed out of our disguises and back into our ordinary clothes. I'm still pretty much in the dark, as usual. And I kept questioning Holmes as to our next move. He was in a state of suppressed excitement. And it was obvious as he spoke to me that he was anxious to be off.
What's dawdle? There's so much work ahead of us.
What do you mean, dawdle? I'm not dawdling. I'm guessing as fast as I can. What's our next move, anyway?
Well, we must split our forces. Let's get hold of my band of street urchins, the Baker Street Irregulars. I'm going to surround Mr. Stewart's house in Cavendish Square, and they'll be invaluable for that purpose.
Well, what do you want me to do?
Go to Pashby Hotel and collect Mr. Stewart, then return with him to his house and wait me there. I shall join you as soon as I've rounded up the Irregulars, but I must warn you. Don't leave Mr. Stewart for a moment. Don't let him out of your sight until you see me again.
Of course I won't, Holmes, but I must say, the idea of all that gunpowder in the cellar doesn't make me feel any too happy.
Have faith in me, old chap. Have faith in me.
You know, I wouldn't expose you to any danger if I could avoid it. And I assure you that I shall join you and Mr. Stewart very shortly. You have your revolver?
Yes, of course.
Good.
And, give Mr. Stewart this revolver, will you? Tell him that I insist that he carries it. I fear that his own has probably been tampered with.
Right you are, Holmes. I'll see that he has it. This is a strange business, I must say. That Guy Falconer seemed such a decent sort of fellow.
Yes, he appeared to be a most amiable fellow, didn't he? This is indeed an unusual case, Watson. We're up against one of the most sinister and twisted antagonists that we've ever met. Well, chap, I'm leaving now. I'll join you soon. And don't forget, stay close to Mr. Stewart. Stay very close to him.
Dr. Watson, I wish your friend were here.
No, don't get so excited, Mr. Stewart. He'll be here any moment now. You've still got the revolver that I gave you?
Yes, it's in my pocket. But what's the good of a revolver if there should be an explosion? Answer me that if you can.
Now, you must have faith in Mr. Holmes, sir. He's arranging now to have this house of yours surrounded by his band of street urchins. They'll see that no one gets to the cellar next door to light the fuses.
A bunch of children. How can they do anything?
You don't know the Baker Street Irregulars, Mr. Stewart. And it's a perfect day for them to operate. As black-faced boys begging for pennies, they'd pass unnoticed anywhere.
I hope you're right. But I have a premonition, Doctor. There's going to be a tragedy. I know it.
Now, take it easy, sir. Remember your heart. You're in splendid hands when Sherlock Holmes is on the case. Here he is now. Holmes, I say, I'm glad to see you.
You received your visitor yet?
Visitor? We've seen no one.
Then be on the alert. I've just been questioning the boys surrounding this house. A few moments ago, some children pulled a small cart up to the back door. A cart containing a life-sized dummy. My irregulars thought that it was an effigy on its way to a bonfire.
Oh, why shouldn't it be, Holmes?
I have reason to believe that it's someone visiting you in disguise, Mr. Stewart. A visitor who is mounting the back stairs at this very moment.
You've got to stand by me, Holmes. You've got to protect
me. Don't worry, sir. All right. Come in.
Look at that apparition.
Great cut. Guy Fawkes coming. A document in his hand and it's walking.
And also talking, I trust.
Keep away from me. I got a revolver.
Take for Victoria's sake. If you won't give me one, I'll take two. The better for me and the worse for you.
It's Guy Falkenberg.
Keep away from me, do you hear?
The better for me and the worse for you.
All right, then. I'm going to fire.
Yes, Mr. Stewart, the revolver I've provided for you seems to be unloaded. How very odd.
Well, what in fun is all this about?
You've just witnessed an attempted murder, Watson.
Murder? What are you talking about? This is a game.
James and I had it arranged, the whole thing.
You may have thought it was a game, Mr. Falconby, but I assure you that your cousin...
Grab Mr. Stuart Watson, he's here. Delirious.
Leave me alone. Take your hands off me. My heart.
Here, help me put him on the sofa. That's it. I'll get him some digitalis.
Look, I don't want to appear unnecessarily stupid, but will someone tell me what this is all about?
With pleasure, Mr. Falconby. Your cousin had planned one of the most fantastic murder plots that I've ever encountered. He came to us with the story that you had threatened his life.
But that's ridiculous. I'm very fond of him.
Of course it's ridiculous. The whole plot was ridiculous. He leased the house next door, had a tunnel dug, and gunpowder and fuses planted there. He even entered the name of the tenants as Winter, Rookwood, and Kames to get the apparent plot a further authenticity.
You mean my cousin was the real tenant?
Certainly he was. However, he was clumsy enough to drop that piece of silk with the wire ring on the end that you found in the cellar, Watson.
The thing you called a jess.
And what's a jess?
It's a strap that goes round a falcon's leg to which its leash is fastened. You will remember that Mr. Stewart informed us that falconry is his hobby. And it therefore indicated that he had been in the cellar and consequently must have known about the whole plot.
And all he was trying to do was to build up in our minds the belief that his cousin was trying to kill him.
Exactly, my dear fellow. Had we believed him, of course he could have shot you just now, Mr. Falconby, in apparent self-defense.
Good Lord, what a fantastic plot. I still can't quite believe
it. Mr. Falconby, why are you dressed as a Guy Fawkes dummy?
Well, it was James's idea. He said that he was going to dress up too, and that we were to go round the bonfires tonight and frighten people by appearing as live dummies. But the last message he sent told me to come up here, that we'd play a practical joke on a couple of friends of his.
And did he provide you with the costume that you're wearing?
Yes, as a matter of fact, he did.
Have you searched the pockets for any weapons?
No, but I will.
All right, and while you're doing that, I'll examine this dark lantern. How's your patient, Watson?
Well, I've given him some digitalis. Now I'll get him some brandy.
I can't find anything in the pockets.
Here's the answer, my friends. Look here. Inside the lantern is a dagger. Your cousin planted it there to substantiate the claim that you were trying to kill him. Had his plans worked, you would have been dead, Mr. Falconby, before you could have told us the truth.
Here, come back here, Mr. Stewart.
James! He slipped out of the door.
Confound it! He's making the harvest, Jack. Come on, Watson, answer him.
Blimey. Here comes the Lord Mayor of London, chums.
Excuse me, please. I'm trying to find a friend of mine. Most important. Holmes, where are you? Can I hear my cousin?
I hear you calling me.
Out of the way, please. I'm coming, Holmes.
Why don't you send me a postcard?
You got away from me in the crowd.
You got away from us.
Well, we'll never find him in this mark.
Dr. Walpole is a dangerous man. There's no knowing what he may do. Where are the irregulars? Ah, there's Wiggins.
Wiggins?
Hello, Mr. Elms. Wiggins. Dr. Watson.
Did you see a man run out of that house a few minutes ago?
No, Governor. Perhaps Charlie did. Hey, Charlie, come over here a minute. It's Mr. Elms.
All right. I bet Charlie didn't see anything, though. He's got some stubby girl with him. Hello, Mr. Elms and Dr. Watson.
Hello, Charlie.
Hello, Charlie.
Did you see a man run through this crowd a few minutes ago? A tallish man with a gray moustache?
Yes, I did. A man came running out of the house over there.
That's the house. Where'd he go?
He ran down toward where the shops are.
And he still outdone he did.
The one we are going to burn in the bonfire. I tried to stop him, but he got away.
Holmes, look up there on the roof. There's a figure. By Jove, I believe it's James Stewart.
That's the man. He's the one that stole our dummy.
He's standing up on the roof. He's going to jump.
If he does, he's going to land in the bonfire.
There he goes. He is jumping. Right into the middle of the fire.
It's awful. He'll be burned to death.
Don't worry, Wiggins. There wasn't a man who fell into the bonfire.
What do you mean?
From the gyrations that the figure performed as it fell, my dear Watson, I'm convinced that Mr. Stewart threw the stolen dummy to try and put us off the track.
Then Stewart's still up there.
He is, Watson. Come along, old boy. It's up on the rooftops for us. Up on the rooftops. Watson, let me help you up. Can you reach my hand?
Yeah, I got it.
All right, then. Up you come. Come on. That's it.
Phew. Seems to me that fire escapes must be designed for giants.
Keep your eyes skinned, old fellow. Stewart's a dangerous man. Might be hiding behind those chimney stacks. Come on.
Upon my soul, this is a strange place to be on Guy Fawkes night.
Yes, a comprehensive case, Watson. Starts in a cellar and ends on a rooftop.
Look, Holmes. By the parapet there.
The crumpled body of Mr. Stewart.
Looks to me as if it... Yeah. He's dead, Holmes.
Well, it's not surprising. The effort of carrying the dummy up here and throwing it, combined with his own state of excitement, were too much for him. Well, frankly, I can't say that I'm sorry.
No, he planned the murder. If it hadn't been for you, he would have succeeded. An extraordinary case, Holmes.
Yes, old chap, and one that should long make us remember the 5th of November.
By Jove, yes.
Please to remember the 5th of November. Gunpowder treason and plot. I see no reason why gunpowder treason should ever be forgotten.
Well, Doctor, as you boys would say, that story was a bit of exciting, what?
Yes, and even now I sort of lose my breath when I remember climbing that fire escape.
You know, Doctor, those two fellas certainly went out of their way to celebrate Guy Fawkes Day. Now, take me, when I got a little celebrating to do, I like to do it quietly. Some friends, a glass of port.
Yeah, petri port, of course.
What else?
Leave it to you. No matter what the occasion is, you can somehow make it a perfect occasion for petri wine. How do you do it, old fellow?
Don't ask me how I do it. You mean, how does the Petri family do it? How can they make such swell wine? Well, the answer is experience. The Petri family has been making fine wine for generations. And ever since they first established the Petri business way back in the 1800s, they've handed on down from father to son, the fine art of turning luscious, sun-ripened California grapes into fragrant, delicious wine. That's why when you want a wine for any occasion, before dinner, with your meals, or after dinner, you can't go wrong with a Petri wine, because Petri took time to bring you good wine. And now, Dr. Watson, what Sherlock Holmes adventure are you going to tell us next week?
An old favorite, Mr. Bartell, a story that concerns strange music that was heard in a lonely house in the English countryside, and of the living death that stalked there. I call it The Adventure of the Speckled Baron.
Tonight's Sherlock Holmes adventure is written by Dennis Green and Anthony Boucher and was suggested by an incident in this Arthur Conan Doyle story, The Adventure of the Devil's Foot. Music was by Dean Fossler. Mr. Rathbone appears through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, and Mr. Bruce through the courtesy of Universal Pictures, where they are now starring in the Sherlock Holmes series. The Petri Wine Company of San Francisco, California, invites you to tune in again next week, same time, same station. This is Harry Bartell saying goodnight for the Petri family. Sherlock Holmes comes to you from our Hollywood studio. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
And that will be all the time that we have for Skull Tall tonight. Coming up in a moment, we'll have Canada Post Rock with John. From all of us here in safe and happy Vancouver, please have a good weekend.